Again, being Sunday evening, we continue in our one-word study. There it is. We only got one? Just look at that screen. We continue in our one-word study tonight, and I'm glad to see each of you here. When I came across looking at this word, and figuring, you know, the best way to approach in the word that's in our devotional book, I think we've heard many sermons on elders. When you think about the qualifications or the characteristics that we read about in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and Titus chapter 1, and also the examples that elders are called to be in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3, all of us know and understand what's involved and what it means to be an elder in relation to the qualifications and the characteristics that God wants for the leaders of the church. And I've been blessed in my time as a gospel preacher to work under some very wonderful and godly elders. However, the very first congregation that I worked with in Tennessee didn't have any elders. And after working in that work for just a short time, because I was a preaching student and I was growing and I was learning, and I certainly learned things the hard way and many times because of my fault and in my zeal and certainly being a green gospel preacher, after you work in a congregation that has no elders, you understand God's need and God's plan for elders in the Lord's church. They're there for a specific reason, and I think sometimes perhaps we misinterpret the qualifications that we read, or we don't agree always with the qualifications that were there. Whatever the case is, we have our own reasons for whatever that might be when it comes to elders. But I can tell you, as a gospel preacher, it makes my job easy when we have godly elders in the Lord's church. And as I approach this word tonight and how I wanted to look at it, I wanted to do something completely different. Because I think many times as a congregation, unless you sit in my seat as a preacher, and as you sit in the elders' meeting many times, and as you spend your time with the elders like I do outside of the walls of the building because of the things and demands that we have to deal with and helping people and handling different situations and helping the elders do their job, I don't think a lot of people in the Lord's church really know what an elder does. And so tonight I want to explain to you from my vantage point as a gospel preacher of what I've seen elders in the Lord's church and how they handle their jobs. And I can tell you this, until you have walked in an elder's shoes in the Lord's church, you truly do not understand the responsibility that lies on these men's shoulders. Because as you look across this room tonight, every person in this room, those men will give an account for your soul on the day of judgment. And that's not a responsibility to be taken lightly. I've known many great men in the Lord's church that I thought should be an elder, met all of the qualifications. But then when I asked them, why wouldn't they take the step to have the desire to want to lead souls to heaven, they simply say this, Larry, I don't want that weight on my shoulders. I can understand, at least they're honest. But at the same time, as it was told that President Garfield was said to have stated, he said, I now step down from the greatest office into the presidency of the United States, being that he was an elder in the Lord's church and understood the gravity of what it meant to be an elder for the body of Christ. So tonight I want us to look at what being an elder is really like. What do elders go through every day? And really, when you think about it, what does an elder look like? Well, I'm sure we can describe most elders, right? Maybe they're a little gray around the edges, or graying completely. Or maybe they don't have any edges at all. But whatever the case is, we know that the typical elder and the typical day for an elder, on a Sunday or a Wednesday, they're generally greeting people and talking to folks. We know that we can approach them. They're gentle, they're kind. Some are stoic, some are more quiet than others. Whatever the case is, we know our elders and we know the typical job that they have here. But what about on Tuesday or Monday or Thursday or Friday or Saturday, when we don't see our elders? You see, most elders have a job outside of here. Most have a job just like you do, but it's not only that they're working the job, but they're also thinking in the process of working their particular secular work of trying to how better to improve the kingdom of God, How better to help the individual or the mother that's struggling to put food on the table because she's a single parent? Or helping the bereaved loved one who's lost a husband after 50 years and helping them get over that difficult situation that they're going through. Or the late call that comes in the middle of the night as the wife has to say goodbye to their husband because they have to go see somebody that's sick in the hospital because they have nobody else to visit them. You see, that's a typical day for an elder. And it's not always an easy day, but most of the time it's a joyful day. You see, an elder is many things, and individuals are constantly on his mind because the work of the church, brethren, as you know, it never stops. It's always there, and the work always has to get done. You see, he thinks about that member who's struggling. He thinks about the couple who's having marital issues. He thinks about those individuals that he cries for and that he's pained for that have turned their back on the body of Christ and have never chose to come back. You see, these are the things that typically go through an elder's mind on a daily basis. We think of elders in the broader spectrum of things. We think of those because they have to balance and keep a budget. We have to keep the building open and the lights paid and the parking lot nice and the grounds kept and all these other things to make sure that we have supplies and things for teachers and all of the other stuff, right? Well, yes, all elders are supposed to handle the administrative task, as they often do, if those things aren't then delegated down to deacons. But you see, that's such a small, minute portion of their job, and really the least important portion of their job. Because a typical day has them doing these things. But I think really elders think about how they can better carry out the Lord's work in the church. What can we do better to improve? Why are these people no longer coming to church? All of those things play through the minds of an elder. How do I know? Because I've been there. Because I've watched and listened and heard the things that they talk about. And the things that they struggle with. But when you think about it, how does an elder deal with the things that are on his mind? I mean, if you've ever gone through a difficult situation in your family, or a family member struggling with something, you know that that weighs heavy on you just as it does the family member, especially if it collectively is within the nucleus of your family. And you know, as you're dealing with those things, your mind can be on nothing else but that. You can be at work, but your mind is 1,000 miles away, right? Because you're concerned about that member of your family. Now multiply that in an elder's mind of 300 plus individuals an elder has to worry about, not only his own family, but also those of the Church of Christ. Those individuals that are struggling, that are dealing with issues. You see, he prays to God that he can have that positive impact on people, that they through him might see Jesus Christ, his Son. Because sometimes that's the greatest impression that people are going to get. He prays for wisdom without doubt, as James talks about in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 6. He prays for understanding. He prays for wisdom. He prays to know the things that he's supposed to do as a leader in the Lord's church. And he prays to God that he never leads people astray by his actions. You see, those things elders pray for on a continual basis, not just every once in a while, because they understand the gravity and the responsibility of how they're supposed to lead people to heaven. But he also knows that God in his wisdom and that God has no limits, and when it comes to accomplishing God's will, elders have to ensure that every avenue is approached to make sure that people get to heaven. So when we think about those things that are on his mind, those are just a few things that are on an elder's mind on a daily basis. But also, what does an elder do each day to meet the expectations of his duties? Well, he goes to visit those that need encouragement. He reaches out to those that are lost in the world, the lost sheep that have turned their back, those that they're trying to pull back to the kingdom of God, those that they're trying to bring back into the fold, and he even helps an unemployed brother find a job. He picks up those who need to be taken to church because they don't have a ride, or perhaps because they can't get around anymore. He goes to watch one of the kids in the congregation who's playing a sport or football or baseball or whatever it is, because the elders want the kids to know that they have friends not only within their immediate circle, but within the church family in and of itself. You see, that's what an elder does. An elder is not only a father figure to his own family, he's also a father figure to those in church, individuals that look up to him, that respect him in the position that he holds, but also because he's approachable and he loves them. You see, that's what elders do. Those are the things that are on an elder's mind. You see, what an elder does each day to meet those expectations of his duties is he puts God first and the church second. And many times, as I've seen in many cases, their family comes third. That's a hard thing to do sometimes. when the phone call comes in the middle of the night and you have to leave everything hanging because that member really, truly needs you and they need you now. That's not an easy thing to do sometimes. And the responsibility that comes with that is great. But let me ask you this. So why do people sometimes then get upset with elders? Maybe I shouldn't ask that question. But I ask that question this way because sometimes elders are called upon to address issues that are not very popular. Sometimes we as the Monday morning quarterbacks or the armchair quarterbacks can look on from the outside looking in and think that we have the better solution or the better answer to the problem. But you see, that's not always the case. Why? Because we don't always have the facts of the situation. We think we do, and we think we know better, but we haven't been put in their situation. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 tells us that elders are called to admonish, and many times, even with love, people do not like to be admonished, do they? People don't want to be corrected. Now imagine that of having to go to a brother or sister who has erred in Christ and having to sit down with them and tell them what they've done wrong in Christ, to do it with love, to do it with compassion, and you're praying to God with every ounce of your being that they don't turn around and they don't walk away from the church forever. Is that a job that you would want? It's not an easy thing. Many times we look from the outside inward, thinking we have the solution to the elders' problems. You see, people generally don't understand truly the scope or the magnitude of the elders' jobs. Sometimes the decision of the color of the carpet in the foyer is not a salvation issue, but for some people it is. But should it really be? My very first work as a gospel preacher, I almost saw the church split, and again, this didn't have any elders. I almost saw the church split over flowers and chandeliers. You see, everybody had their own opinion. Everybody had their own way of doing things, but we have no elders to corral the situation and to make the decision. And it was unfortunate that they allowed such small, minute, petty things to affect the unity and the fellowship of that body of Christ. But it happens, and when we think about the qualifications that God gives concerning they're not supposed to be novices, and they've raised their children, and they've understood the problems in life that come down upon them and how to handle situations, that's why the Lord gives us elders. So when people do complain over the color of the carpet in the foyer or wherever else it might be in the building, the elders can say, is this really an issue that's going to keep us out of heaven? Because 99.9% of the time, brethren, it's not. Because really, in the scope of things, does that carpet really matter an ounce of anything in relation to somebody's soul? No. You see, elders are men who make decisions based upon the information that's given to them. And they have to do the best they understand with what they've been given to determine the outcome of the situation. And sometimes we think we know best, but brethren, most of the time it's not. You see, they filter that information then through the prism of Scripture to make the best decision based upon what God has given them and what brethren have given them to make sure they try and get it right the best they can. Do they always get it right? No. Why? Because they're human beings. I had a friend of mine that preaches down in Mississippi. And he said one Sunday he was preaching on modesty. Because it had been an issue, and where he preaches is down by the beach, so you can imagine why it would be. But he said, that Sunday, he said, I was completely shocked when all five of my elders walked forward and responded to the invitation that Sunday. He said, I had no idea they were going to do that. They knew what I was going to preach on because it's in the bulletin and on the website. But he said, that Sunday, when all five of my elders sat down to repent, to say they had not addressed the issue and they had allowed it to get out of hand, he said those men understood what it meant to be elders and to lead people by example. Why? Because they see you as leaders, understanding that you make a mistake, that you fall short because you're a human being. And they too, just like us, are allowed to repent just like we are. These men are not infallible. These men aren't without correction. And these men aren't perfect. They make mistakes from time to time. And we too, as we would expect our elders to be patient with us, we, brethren, must be patient with them. Why? Because that's what the Bible tells us to do. You see, they know that no matter how long their families have attended the congregation they serve, that congregation belongs to Christ. Because it does. And they have the responsibility of taking care of that congregation for God. Imagine the great responsibility that comes with that. You see, elders are simply servants of God fulfilling their God-given responsibilities. And because many people don't want it, men have to step up and accept it and know that it comes sometimes with heartache, heartbreak, and pain. But they're willing to do that. They're willing to step up and lead as God wants them to lead. So with that said, and what they go through, why in the world would anyone want to become an elder? Why would I want to deal with any of that pain, Larry? Why would I want any of that responsibility? Why would I not just want to be able to come in, worship God, go about serving Him like I'm supposed to, and not have to worry about all the other external things that come with that? Because they see the fruit of their labor. They see the relief in the eyes of those who are on the receiving end of benevolence. They see the relief in the eyes of the individuals they are sitting down with when the person has lost a loved one and they've established that bond with them as they're crying and they've sat with them all night long because they need somebody to simply be there. You see, they get the experience of crying with that family. They see lives that are transformed by the gospel. They see children that are growing up into adults, then themselves getting married and teaching their children the gospel. You see, that's the fruits of their labor. They see Christian families grow out of the seeds that were sown a long time ago. All of those small things are worth the responsibilities and what it means to be an elder in the Lord's church. You see, elders walk by faith and not by sight. And elders also understand that God answers prayer, James 5 and verse 16. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much, as the Bible tells us. And elders understand long-term implications of their actions and their responsibilities. You know, I many times think, as I read articles and I hear my friends, I have many preacher friends, and they tell me about this particular congregation that's going by the wayside because of liberalism or whatever things that are infecting the church. And I always ask and think and pray about the elders of that church and thinking about what they're going to answer for on the day of judgment. Here's a congregation that has chosen to go into sin and apostasy because of what they're teaching, because of what they've allowed to be taught, because of the ideas of man that they've allowed to creep into the congregation itself, and it begins to affect everybody, or the congregations that have split down the middle over ridiculous and petty things sometimes. And I always think about, not only are the members of that congregation going to answer for that, but the elders will have to answer for every single individual on the day of judgment. Do you want that responsibility? You see, we're quick to judge, and we're quick to criticize, and we're quick to point the finger. But for one moment tonight, put yourself in the shoes of an elder of the Lord's church and his family, and think about what he carries on his shoulders every day. It's not an easy job, certainly not an easy task. So what's being an elder really like? It's a man who chooses to serve God and to lead people to heaven. It's a man who loves the Lord. It's enjoying being around brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's about heartache, heartbreak, and heart-filled experiences. That's what it's like to really be an elder. It's about seeking first the kingdom of God, seeking their own desires last, and seeking the church and helping lost sheep. And it's about the first and greatest command. It's about the Lord, and it's not about themselves. You see, when I think about elders, I think about all the great men that I've been able to serve with, serve beside, and serve for. That's what I base my experiences on. The elders that have beat me to the hospital. The elders who call me and say, we need to go make a visit. The elders who call me and say, this person needs help. We need to figure out a better way to help them. You see, that's what I think about when I think about an elder and what their job is really like. Because when you think about it, the small things that we think about are the easy things. It's the other responsibilities that come with being an elder that we never think about. So I would ask you, not only because of the word that we're looking at tonight concerning our elders, and when you look at this all week long, to pray for our elders. Pray for strength. Pray for guidance. Pray for wisdom. But you know what I also ask you to do? Pray for their families. Pray for their wives of having to share their husbands, perhaps when they don't want to share them. Pray for their children when their children don't get the time with their fathers because their fathers are off tending to other people's families. Pray for these men who choose to bear the responsibility of carrying the load of the Lord's church because they love you and want to see you get to heaven. Pray for the men who love us enough to serve the Lord in that capacity when a lot of people don't want to. And I think if there was anything our elders would probably say to you tonight, is if you are not a member of the Lord's church, they would want you to do that tonight. That is their heart's desire, that you obey the gospel, that you understand the responsibility of what it means to be a Christian and the great love that God gives us through His Son on the cross of Calvary. If you're ready to do that tonight, I guarantee our elders are going to rejoice. We'll rejoice. The angels in heaven will rejoice, but most importantly, God is going to rejoice. Simply be willing to repent of your sins, confess your faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and be baptized for remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. And if you're here tonight as a child of God and you're struggling in your faith or just need encouragement, you know what I appreciate about our elders is when our elders stand up here to receive those that come forward. I would rather I just sit down and let them handle it. They're the ones that are leading. They're the ones that want to see people respond and their hearts restored and those that are added to the church. To me, that impresses me tremendously concerning leadership. So these men love you, I love you, and we all love you. And tonight we want you to be right with God as together we stand and as we sing.